This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
I was lucky on Friday night. It took me some time to recognize that, but it's true. Actually, I recognized it almost right away. It just took me some time to convince myself that it was true. There's good luck and bad luck, and for too many people, good luck is when something good happens to you, and that's all. They cannot see the good luck that took place because the more serious negative things didn't happen. I was in a car accident. Nothing serious, and that's part of the good luck. The Taurus lost an eye and needs some dental work, but that can be repaired. The other car took a more direct hit. But again, all can be fixed despite the personal time spent dealing with it. But there was no personal injury. My airbag didn't even release, and the gentleman in the other car wasn't a yelling, screaming butthead, but instead showed understanding, etiquette, and trust. We could use some more people like him roaming the streets. And while I moped and moaned for much of the next day, thinking back on how it happened and what it all meant, I finally realized that there was far more good luck involved than bad. In fact, embarrassing moments of good luck in my life right now. Sometimes it takes an accident of some sort to point this out. So thanks to Alex for being so gracious, and a hug and a kiss to Sarah for being there at all. Let the karma bring more good luck to you both. It makes my baby seem so far. I need you here with me, not way over in a bucket seat. I need you to be here with me, not way over in a bucket seat. All right, there you go. Mid-March. What the heck is today anyway, by the way? I think it's like the 16th. That's right. It's just before St. Patrick's Day. So, let me take a moment and thank 45fix.com. 45fix. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates, available anytime. That's 45fix.com. The number 4, the number 5, and the word fix. .com. And let me push all the buttons and turn everybody on in my own personal radio way. All right, let's see. I got Sean, I got Ray, I got Mark, all parts of Bar Hoppers 2008. Gentlemen, how goes it?
Oh, it goes fabulous so far.
It goes very well.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate that.
Hey, Ray's got a spit guard on his mic. How come I don't have a spit guard?
Well,
I often pop my peas, my friend.
Is that what it is? All right. Bar Hoppers 2008. For a lot of, to me, I know what Bar Hoppers is. Yeah. And Mark, you're going to have to lean a little closer
That.
The microphone will not bite, despite the fact it doesn't have any spit guard on it.
No protection.
tell us, Bar Hoppers, offstage theater, right? Mm-hmm. Who wants to take that on?
I might as well. Yeah, this is my eighth year of doing Bar Hoppers. Offstage theater in general, it's a theater without a theater. We do theater in site-specific locations, and Bar Hoppers has been now a 20-year tradition for offstage. And by the title, it suggests that the site there is in a bar. So we'll solicit scripts from local writers that are about 10 to 15 minutes long, and then put up anywhere between 6 and 8 of them. At the local bars. This year we did it at Miller's last week, and we're doing it at Rapture this week and Rapture the week after. All the performances start at 7:30, and it's $8 at the door.
And that's Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at 7:30. One of the great things about Bar Hoppers in general, before we get into the specifics of this year, this is Ray, by the way, is that it's theater.
You're going by like one name now, like Cher.
I'm just Ray.
Yeah.
Man, Bar Hoppers plays are plays that take place in the bars. They're written specifically for the bars, so that you come in, you hang out at a bar, and you get a free show. It's $8, but it's like a free show. But it's fabulous because it's like environmental. It's like site specific theater, and Offstage does a lot of that. You know, bedroom plays in a store that sells bedding. And other things like that. But Bar Hoppers is a great place. It's like dinner theater for the drinking crowd.
Yeah. And this year we're doing the Best of Joel Jones. Rick, I think have you met Joel before?
I have not met Joel. We chatted on the phone, I believe, one year.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And Joel, for those who are familiar with or have been in Charlottesville for any length of time, Joel goes all the way back to like the first public access TV show.
Yeah.
Here in the Charlottesville area on like Adelphia Channel 10 or what it was before Corey Barefoot and I got in there. Some other programs. And seems that for every year, two or three of the plays chosen have been written by Joel Jones.
Yeah, that's right. Not only are two or three of the plays chosen written by Joel Jones, but it's always like one or two of the best plays of the series, not to rank things and say some are not good, but they're all good. But ones
how do you rate something like that anyway?
Rate them by applause like, and commentary after the hour, correct?
Decibel level. Decibel level.
You rate them by tips to the server.
There you go. But no, but Joel's contributions, have been massive over the years. Go ahead.
So he's written for each year, or almost every year, and some of the best ones are Joel Jones plays each year. So the idea hit Offstage Board is why not have a best of Bar Hoppers, and then someone said, well, if it's a best of Bar Hoppers, it's basically going to be a best of Joel Jones, because Joel Jones always has the best ones in Bar Hoppers. So, there you go. Best of Joel Jones, Bar Hoppers, 20th anniversary. And then I believe it was Sean's idea to get it back to Miller's, started in Miller's, because the original Bar Hoppers 20 years ago started in Miller's. Am I correct, Sean?
Yep. You are correct, Ray.
And we had a blast last week doing it at Miller's, and the staff was wonderful. And we're expecting the same at Rapture.
My memory, and I don't know who's participated long enough with Bar Hoppers to correct me if I'm wrong, but my memory is that while now you know that it's happening, it's been advertised that it's happening, you show up at Rapture at 7:30.
Well, hopefully a little bit before then.
Okay. Yeah, but that's when everything 6:30. Starts. But my memory is that the first time it ever happened, first time I ever watched it was, we're like, what in the hell is that? Because... because it wasn't an announced thing. It just started. Mm-hmm. And you were like, what are those people doing? And it got louder and louder and more, you know, taking up more attention from everyone in the room. And it went on for a few minutes. And then everybody said, by the way, this is the first piece of Bar Hoppers, you know, 1994, you know, or something like that. And we were like, wow, okay, whew. You know, I didn't know if I was going to have to go out the back door or not with, you know, whatever that was all about. But it was very cool and very interesting, and I'm glad to see that it has continued with its, you know, that people like it so much, that it's still around.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on the environmental impact of the theater. It's like just start doing theater in a place where theater's not done normally, like a bar, and just see what happens. So it's as much of an experience as it is a play, and it has morphed into an announced, programmed type thing. But there's very little tech, if any, and the plays just start up one after another. And the reason to announce it is that every year after it's over, people are always saying, I wish I would have known about that. I would have gone. How do I know? So, you know, we get the website, we get the announcement out, we have the email blasts and let people know what's going on so they have a chance to see it. Because, and especially this year, since it's kind of, it is a best of in two ways, best of and a best of Joel Jones, it's really fun. Personal guarantee from Ray.
On the line.
Yes. If you don't like it, I'll make you like it.
But to have shows that are as funny as Joel's plays are, to sit there and watch him with a drink in hand is just, you know, double the pleasure.
Because most of the characters also have a drink in hand.
11:09 here on the Wake Up Call. We are talking with a gentleman from Bar Hoppers. We're getting ready to... we're going to do bits and pieces of a variety of the... and we'll let... who's going to stay around?
I'll stick around.
First we're going to do is automatic writing. So Sean and Ray are going to leave. And we're going to allow the director and two of the artists And oh my gosh, you guys expect me to read those as name tags? Do you not see how thick my eyeglasses are? See, that's it. Betty's got it covered.
Note to everyone waiting in the green room.
Yes, all of those up front. Oh, I see someone else with a nice big dark marker name there. I like that.
Get the poster board ready.
But we will do this. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven, is that right?
Seven total, yep.
Seven plays that will be performed as the best of, and this year's Bar Hoppers thing. We're going to do pieces from, I think, four, maybe five today. And again, we're not going to do the whole thing, but we are going to do bits and pieces from them. We're going to talk with the actors and go with it from there. First, we're going to do automatic writing. We have Betty Hales in here. Now, Betty, you've been on the program before in years past, both as on the acting side and on the directing side, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What makes you want to participate?
Probably with it most of the 20 years.
All right. Yeah. Don't be talking to Mark. You got to talk to me. You're the...
I'm waiting for his approval. No, when I lived over in the valley, I used to come over the mountain and got involved with it. It's great fun to do in any capacity, really, whether you're acting or whether you're directing.
But, all right. Well, tell the listeners a little bit about automatic writing. What's the premise?
Well, automatic writing is a story about two young students who have been assigned a writing composition assignment, and they're coming at it from two totally different directions, and they find that they have they're going to accomplish more than just writing.
All right. Well, that leaves a lot open there.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
The imagination wonder.
Let me see. We have, let me make sure I've got the right buttons here. We have Amy Strunk as Darcy. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
All right. Now, you got to get right up on those microphones.
Sorry.
This isn't the bar where everyone's being all quiet. People can hear you. Some of these people are listening in Richmond or whatever.
Hi, Richmond.
And we have Phil Green as Troy.
Oi.
There you go.
Yeah.
I also want to give you a little caveat that we have taken a snippet of... This is not the complete piece, but we have taken a radio-friendly version.
Yes, it is. It is edited for your pleasure.
It's excellent. Thoroughly PG'd up.
Well, we appreciate that in a variety of ways, because I like to continue to do the program. All right, I'm going to turn out the microphones except for your two. So ready and go.
All right, I was sort of inspired yesterday while writing in my journal. Monique sat in the butterscotch light of morning, sipping her chamomile tea as the wafting linen curtains revealed the bedewed grass outside. It was autumn, which always made Monique think of cycles of return and renewal, and Monique's long auburn hair was up with a ballpoint pen to hold it. She wore her sage green yoga pants and sleeveless white tank top, but the kind that's wide on your shoulder, not the kind with the tiny straps, and her gray hoodie. She thought about Dan as the steam rose with the aroma of her tea. She wondered what he was wearing right now and whether he was right for her. It's just one possibility. We don't have to use it.
Grissom said once we started, we had to go back and forth until the story's finished. Otherwise, we're breaking the integrity of the composition.
Wow, Troy, maybe you are a serious person.
Besides, we've already emailed the beginning to him, so it's too late to go back and change it just because it's garbage. But don't worry, Darcy. The Troy man is going to make it smoke. At that moment, Dan Skyblade was strapped into his Space Slayer Interceptor, his lightning-fast reflexes fixed on the sensor screen for signs of the alien attack force. The Zorkarians were coming, but he and Bravo Wing were ready for him. Suddenly, an explosion shook the capsule as green lights flashed on the sensor screen as he heard Colonel Flint's voice on the telecom. Here they come, boys. Let's get ready to show these slimy ringworms what Earth's really made of. Hey, this is gonna be pretty good.
Troy, I'm not sure the two story parts are related.
They both have Dan in them.
I'm not sure we can continue to collaborate on this project.
Yeah, maybe I should have made Dan a detective.
Troy, I don't believe in war. I don't think human beings need to resolve their conflicts through violence.
They're not human beings. They're aliens.
Aliens have rights, too, which should be respected.
It's just a story.
It's just a story that reinforces the dominant paradigm of imperialistic aggression.
If everyone respected everyone's rights, then how will we have stories that don't stink?
We focus on the emotional changes in the characters.
Hey, look. Grissom said we're supposed to communicate through writing alone and build the story together. This is a team assignment?
Fine.
Good.
Great.
Cool.
Monique felt Dan's presence closely. a tiny, sweet pain inside her told her he was thinking of her at that very moment.
As more alien blast rays exploded around him, Dan was ready to kick some serious alien butt.
Dan was very sweet, but despite all his confessions of love, she was starting to wonder if he was the right man for her after all. He always wanted her to wear the light blue terry cloth bathrobe he'd given her, but Dan didn't understand. She couldn't wear a bathrobe unless it was the right bathrobe.
That is totally lame. Dan's a hero. He's not going to be giving some chick a bathrobe.
You just don't respect my contributions to the story.
Hey, I went with Dan, but you're totally ignoring he's a space pilot.
Remember, Professor Grissom said we're supposed to communicate through writing alone and build the story together.
Oh, yeah? Dan hit the accelerator and swooped in closer to the totally massive alien ship, firing as he went. The other guys in Bravo Wing kidded him about giving his girl back home a bathrobe, but he figured, what the hell? He might be dead tomorrow. There. Okay. He gave her the bathrobe. Happy now?
You want Dan to be a space pilot? As Monique stepped onto the porch and felt the autumn breezes against her clean skin, she knew that Dan wasn't mature enough. His deep personal inadequacies made intimacy impossible. What if he never outgrew playing soldier? She knew when he came home she'd have to break up with him.
You can't write that. You're making Dan seem lame.
I'm developing Monique's character. Monique is expressing her feelings about Dan.
You want development? I'll give you development. As Dan's plasma cannon strafed the alien mothership, he momentarily laughed out loud. Ha! 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 Because he didn't have time to think of that boring chick back home.
But then he realized he was thinking about her, and suddenly he felt the pain of recognition and how he tried to hide his vulnerability behind a facade of machismo, just like Monique had always said.
But since Dan was trying to save the planet Earth from Zorkarian attack, he had to put aside the nagging of a stupid pacifist girlfriend who he only dated so he could win a bet.
But Dan didn't realize he was a painfully unskilled lover who didn't understand a woman's body, and as his ship blew up, and Dan had one last pang of tearful, agonizing regret at how he lied to convince himself he didn't love Monique, when in fact he did.
Hey, you can't blow up my character.
He's not yours. I introduced him in the first paragraph.
But I flushed him out.
You didn't flush him out. You dumbed him down.
Hey, my Zorkarian attack saved this story. Ta-da.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like I have to ask Betty, how do you keep the two of them from attacking each other when the play is over? Because that seems like...
Oh, we attack each other.
To play, there's
much attacking. What makes you think I keep them apart?
Yeah, I would think that the depth needed to play out those characters would carry over well beyond when you say go and stop.
You have to come and see what happens.
No, all right.
Well, one thing about the play, I don't know if it was
get closer.
If we said so or not, but they're typing on laptops as they're doing the stories.
Oh, okay.
So they're doing it with laptops right across from each other.
Got it.
And then it builds and builds.
All right, quick question before we switch on to the next play for as Phil Green, Amy Strunk playing Troy and Darcy in, let's see, that was Automatic Writing by Joel Jones. Curious as to how the two of you got involved, what made you excited and interested in participating?
Well, I mean, I've been a theater fan for a long time. I mean, I'm not particularly talented at most things, but I had a degree of aptitude for acting, so I figured I might as well make do with it. I found out about offstage theater through my very sketchy publisher, who is a friend of Joel Jones, and knew that, you know, the best of Joel Jones is going to be done this year, and so he kind of strong-armed me into doing it, and I'm glad he did.
Amy?
I actually was eavesdropping on Joel's Jones the Younger when he was telling somebody else about it. And then I Googled Offstage Theater and Bar Hoppers, and I found out what time it was, and then I showed up.
All right.
I got cats.
That's the way to. That's the way many famous actresses have been discovered, right?
That's right.
Is through eavesdropping.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank both of you for coming in, and good luck.
Thanks for having us, man.
Check that out.
Come see Bar Hoppers.
Woo!
All right. It is 11:19. Let me do the things I'm required to do while we get the next group of folks over here. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today. Highs 55 to 60, 45 to 50 in the valley. Clear tonight. Lows 25 to 30. A little warmer in Richmond. Sunny tomorrow, highs 55 to 60, and just a little chillier in the valley again. Right now, a few clouds in and around our listening area. 50 in the valley and in Lynchburg, 48 in Richmond, 49 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being there for us. Blue Ridge Graphics, Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And WNRN also wants to remind you that the Cavalier Day Camp member registration event will be held on Monday, March 17th. That's tomorrow. From 6 until 7 p.m. in the UVA Aquatic and Fitness Center Gym. Member registration will then continue through the 21st. Cavalier Day Camp is a fun, educational adventure for kids entering grades 1 through 5. You can register your camper at the UVA Aquatic and Fitness Center business office between 8 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. on other weekdays. Open registration will begin on the 24th. Online info and registration forms are available at virginia.edu/IMS or call the NRN studio line after we're finished here from 11 to 12. All right, back in action with the Bar Hoppers 2008 folks. All kinds of people lounging around the studio today. Next up, we're going to do a piece called Tragic Hero.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got to hold up my let me turn everybody's microphone back up so you can speak. I love this. Thank you very much. Now this is how I can read. Although I'll probably mispronounce something. Gabrielle Mosky.
Mosky.
Gabrielle Mosky. Talk right into that.
Gabrielle Mosky. You
yes,
call me Gabby. That's fine.
You play Connie.
I do.
In this piece. All right. And then we have Ian Lawler, Michael. And that leaves Kirby Martin. So, Kirby, you are the director, but you also have a role, McLeish?
Yeah, McLeish. Rick.
McLeish.
Actually, I'm a co-director. Bob Dorsey is the other director.
Right. He was too scared to come in.
And most people, it's amazing that I've been doing this for as long as I have. I thought I would have scared everyone in town away. But obviously, there are some newbies out there who don't know any better. And then there's Mark, who gets taller every year that he comes
every
back
year.
Into the
stage. I'm a giant now, man.
although I think it bears mentioning, he's not nearly as tall as his brother.
All right. Yeah.
Kirby, you're the director. Tell me a little bit about this.
Actually, if you don't mind, Rick, I'm going to defer to Ian. Although he is a Michigan grad, he is a playwright himself, so I think he could probably better describe what's going on.
All right, Ian Lawler.
Yes, indeed. So... this play...
Let's get the title.
Tragic Hero is the title of this play. Connie and Michael are in a bar discussing their relationship. Connie is taking a poetry class, and she has recently become attracted to a member of her poetry class who happens to be a 15th century Scottish warlord.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually is a real 15th century Scottish warlord.
So we need to drop a little bit of our general beliefs in the time continuum.
Not at all. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, there is always
this is real.
A willing suspension of disbelief, and I think Joel Jones is probably just taking full advantage of it in this play.
And who plays that role? You play that role?
McLeish is played by Kirby. Yeah.
Sorry, the name should have given that away. I'm curious as to what your costume is for this.
I'm wearing, it is pretty hot,
it's
actually.
Very hot.
I'm wearing a kilt and some sort of, some sort of vest. And, you know, like, I got the knee socks going on.
And I
carry a sword as well.
Do you have, like, on bike shorts or something under this in case you fall
that
over?
That is affirmative.
Oh, no, you should have left. Shouldn't have said anything.
Perhaps.
Leave it to the imagination.
All right. all right. And we have a piece, a segment of this, of Tragic Hero to do.
That is correct.
All right, so we have, I'm going to mess it up again, Gabrielle Mosky.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Sweet. Ian Lawler, Kirby Martin, part of Tragic Hero from Bar Hoppers 2008, tonight, Monday and Tuesday,
yep.
At Rapture.
That's right.
You're all on.
7:30.
All right. McLeish, look, you're a nice guy, and I certainly think you're very interesting, but the truth is... I love Michael. We've been together a long time, and I'm not going to give that up for just some seething, desperate passion, even though you and I would probably have a much better sex life. I mean, it's true. Michael's not as tall as you or as good-looking. He's basically not talented at all. He can't speak beautifully as you do, much less hurl huge, rough, hewn poles or hold his own in medieval warfare. Come to think of it, he really doesn't have much personality, and after living together for 3 years, he still doesn't hang up his shirt.
Connie?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm staying with Michael. I can never see you again. Goodbye.
Goodbye. What good can Sconny's losing be? I am forsaken. Sentence me she doth to prison, and that fortress loneliness, whose battlements are grim, unflinching stone, from which I'll scan horizons bleak with longing, forever wanting thee.
Did I say never? I meant to say not very often.
Connie, what are you doing?
McLeish and I will be friends. I admire his poetry.
Oh, I can't believe you fall for this crap.
What do you mean, crap? Just because you can't put words together in beautiful ways? Because you aren't creative?
I'm not creative? I'm not creative? Come on, Connie. You've seen my webpage. Why do you have to live through him anyway?
I don't live through him.
I don't see you writing your own poetry.
As a matter of fact, I have written poems. I happen to have one right here, and it's going to be published in a local alternative newspaper. It's called Dissatisfaction. When I am with Michael, I feel I am living as people ought to live. I am bored out of my mind. I am tired of the way he picks his teeth and sniffs when he reads the newspaper.
That's your poem? That's it? You can't publish that. It's about me.
It's not about you. It's about me, about my feelings.
But you're using my name, and you're telling everybody about the teeth thing.
Tight! Ticking moments! Slow, slow passing time! I am in bite at jealousy's taut leash. I'm impatient to begin this bloody task. These pretty words forestall reality. They are cold comfort, decorated lies. We now must strike.
Stop it. Whoa, Connie, are you hearing this?
I try to tell him he's being silly, but he's just so stubborn.
Stubborn? The man is talking about running me through with a sword.
Nay, this be a hacking sword. And what art we to wield this killing tool, which cleaves the flesh from bone, rendering all bloody, stinking pulp, fit food for dogs and all kinds.
Would you shut up, Connie? Who is he talking to?
Michael, he has an artistic temperament.
Well, I'm not putting up with any more of this. Waiter? Hello, I want my check.
Noble man. Honest to a fault. But friend, thou needest not worry so, for I shall gladly settle thy account. Anon, I'll have thee slain.
That's it. I'm calling the police. We'll see about your little shenanigans, pal. You keep on reciting your iambic pentameters.
Pentameters?
Whatever. You keep talking to the walls, and you're going to find yourself in a place where you have lots of time to talk to walls. And that's just the beginning. When my lawyer... Hello? Yes, this is Michael Rosemith. I'm at Rapture downtown, and this is an emergency. Yes, I'm being assaulted by a 16th century Scottish warlord.
15th century?
A 15th century Scottish warlord. Yes, I know him. His name is... McLeish.
Of the Fens.
Of the Fens. Three words. He's wearing a kilt and speaking in poetry.
Also called Skull Crusher.
He's also called Skull Crusher. Anyway, he's from the 15th century, and he's going around speaking... Hello? Hello?
Let me tell you that at the one point when McLeish first spoke, I think we didn't need the microphone from here to Richmond. I, like, jumped. It's like, whoa, hey, okay, I can see where... can see where Michael would have been a little afraid.
We've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Scottish people only have one volume.
All right. Why choose that one? Why choose that play?
Well, when we were going through the selection process, Joel had sent us a lot of the ones that he had written over the years and ones that he thought would work well together. And I've been doing Barhoppers 8 years, and I've had the pleasure of being in, like, this is my sixth Joel play. But I'd never seen Tragic Hero before, and I brought it to the board, and we read through it, and we're like, this is hysterical. And it just, visually, it also works well. I mean, you can imagine two normal people dressed at the bar, and then all of a sudden, some guy walks in with a kilt and is carrying a sword. So, yeah, visually, it works really, really well.
All right, real quick, tonight's play is, you start at 7:30
yep.
at Rapture downtown, and then Monday and Tuesday as well.
That's right.
And... let me ask again, that was tragic hero. Ian Lawler as Michael, Gabrielle Mosky as Connie. Mm-hmm. I butchered that a third time, I'm sure. Kirby Martin as co-director, and Dwayne McLeish. Did you want to be in that play, or did you show up and say, I want to be in some play?
I knew definitely I wanted to be in this play. I knew there was a Scottish warlord that was probably going to be bald, and I just loved it. There's no acting involved for me. I just fawn.
So we won't get into further details about your outside social life and exactly what interests you. All right. 11:30 here on the wake-up call. We're going to switch over to our next play. Thank the three of you for coming in. I appreciate it very much. All right. As we turn some microphones off to get the sound a little quieter, 11:30 here, let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. They are your source for outdoor sandals from Jocko, Teva, and Reef, as well as gear for spring travel, including shorts, duffel bags, and cool sun hats. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Berwick Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. All right, the next one coming up should be entertaining, but let me keep going and let everybody get their seats. Michael, are you going to be okay if I do this now? We haven't really given out the phone number today because this is more of an entertainment piece. If Ann Williams is still out in the lobby, you're welcome to help me with this as well. This is the Listener Appreciation Weekend here at WNRN, and even the Wake Up Call has something to give away. So here during the Wake Up Call, the first caller to dial us up can have a $10 gift certificate to Baja Bean. And if you are a member, which means you pledged during the fall fundraiser, we'll toss in a WNRN t-shirt. So, Ann, if you're out there, please grab it. Otherwise, Michael will be there, whoever's dialing now. Hang tight. We will get it. Line two is going off. All right. Let me get everybody all set in here because this is a crowd. I'm feeling there's lots, all kinds of stuff happening now, right?
This is how it's done.
This is how it's done. All right, so this piece, this is Big Fish, Little Fish, correct?
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Going to go across. I have Alex Goodhouse. Alex will be playing saxophone during this. I heard this is a little film noir style.
It is. It is a film noir piece. It's based I don't know what it's based on, but it's about a hard-boiled detective and his lady problems, and he's got a sidekick who happens to be a saxophonist who follows him around everywhere playing riffs.
And that's the voice of Bob Dorsey, the director of this play?
Yes.
Correct. We also have Don Gaylord, who plays Dick Dravet.
Yes.
That's proper pronunciation?
Yes, Dick Dravet.
Dick Dravet, the private investigator. We have Nikki Simon, who plays Lotta. And Laura Lee Jones, who plays Nikki. See, now, that's confusing. Why couldn't Nikki play Nikki? My guess is that you probably did before you got here, and you did this intentionally to mess up my head. All right, so we have Don as Dick Dravet, Nikki as Lotta, and Laura as, or do you go by Laura Lee?
I go by Laura Lee.
Laura Lee. Well, that makes it easier. Laura Lee as Nikki. Premise of the play?
That's pretty much it. It's a down on his luck, grumpy detective with a running internal monologue and a backup
and
saxophone.
And a beautiful saxophone. All right. Well, I'll count to three, and then you can fire it up. One, two, three.
Me and my saxophonist walked over to the bar. Nikki was working that night.
Hey, Dick.
A good kid with a nice smile who is learning the hard way that a nice smile in this burg wouldn't get you a tall latte without $3 thrown in.
Yeah? At least I don't talk to myself.
She thought she was funny, but she was going to learn that a sense of humor wouldn't get you an almond vanilla bikini wax at a snooty salon.
You want a drink?
Shut up. Whiskey and rocks.
In the same glass?
Only if it's half empty.
Of which?
Of both. And get my saxophonist a glass of soda water. You'll drink soda water and like it, see? And if you give me any more lip, that's the last lip I'll ever get.
You don't have to talk to him like that.
Shut up. No one tells me how to talk to my saxophonist, see? And if you don't like it, Take a powder.
What kind of powder?
Whatever kind you take.
I don't take any kind.
Sure, that's what they all say. That's when she walked in. She was wearing a slinky red number that only stayed on because her body couldn't figure out which part to spill out first. More curves than an interstate cloverleaf and a pair of gams, it said. Can I borrow a tube sock and some lotion? Shut up! I didn't know what she wanted, but one thing was sure. She wanted something. Everyone does. Who's the dame?
That's Lotta Vixen. She's trouble, Dick.
What kind of trouble?
The worst kind.
You mean the best kind.
I guess you're about to find out.
Are you Dick Dravit?
That depends. Are you buying the drinks?
Are you drinking one with me?
Sorry, Cupcake, you'll have to drink your own.
I mean at the same time.
Yeah, she wanted something, all right. She wanted a drink, and she wanted me to drink one with her.
I'll take a martini.
Dry?
Only metaphorically. And give Mr. Dravit another of whatever he's drinking.
In the same glass?
Not with a martini.
I mean, do you want me to refill his glass or give him a new one?
I don't know. I don't know anything anymore.
Take it easy, kid. I'm Dick Dravit, and this is my saxophonist.
I like a man with a big shiny horn.
God, all I can say is, thank goodness that the true religious folks are at Palm Sunday Church.
There you go.
Yay, church. Joel Jones with a few little sly comments in there.
Sly innuendos you won't find in the Holy Bible.
And the phone has already lit up, God forbid, that I hope that that's people commenting on the well-written play and innuendos and wanting to know when this will be performed and not making comments on anything else. Don, I'm curious. That seems like an awful lot. I mean, and that's just a short piece. An awful lot to memorize, especially to then put the acting with it. Is this something that you do on a regular basis? I mean, are you a full-time actor?
Yeah, no, actually, I'm a full-time archaeologist, so I have a day job. But no, I started doing theater a few years back. Actually, one of the founders of Offstage Theater, Betsy Tucker, gave me my first chance to do theater. I was a guitarist. But the lines really come as a process of working with the other folks together, you know. I was really concerned when I first started about learning lines, but it's about working with the other people, and I think that makes all the difference.
Now, Nikki, am I... Do I remember you? Were you here last year?
I was not.
You're not. You were not. You look familiar. Maybe you're one of the pictures that I got because you look familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. That was me.
Okay. Sean or somebody. Sean sent me 5 or 6, 7 pictures from the press release.
Press photos.
I'm curious as to the noir issue seems to me, and that's much different than just walking out there and being yourself or finding the role of someone that you know. And so for you and Laura Lee, I'm curious as to how you managed to do that.
I think both of us, both of us just sort of, I think we both actually commented that we were sort of taking it from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That I'm basically Jessica Rabbit and Laura Lee is Eddie Valiant's girlfriend.
Very nice. I like that. And I think that that's something that most people can at least, can get the image and refer to that. Excellent. Good. All right. Bob, the difficulty or ease to do this piece, again, because I come back to the fart. Please, there's a lot of people in here. Will you please stop that? I come back to the part that it is a different style of play. Not just from, even amongst the Joel Jones pieces.
Right.
It doesn't seem like that you have a lot to fall back on for teaching or on how you want it performed. Where did you get that from?
Well, I mean, it's all in the text. I mean, it's such a well-written play, and it's so funny that it's just really, it really sort of directs itself. I mean, the blocking comes pretty naturally, and if you just look back to, like, old film noir films, you could see how people acted and how they reacted, and and stuff. But yeah, the text is so funny. It's so well written. It essentially just directs itself.
Now, I have to ask, because of that, and we already mentioned that one of the, was it automatic writing that had been sort of made PG here for the show. Now, is this, what's the proper age limit for people coming in tonight?
Well, if they're going to bring their children with them, they better realize, first of all, number one, they're in a bar.
Well, but you don't have to be 21 to attend, right?
No.
I mean, I think Rapture, no. While they may card people on a regular, you know, Sunday night or Tuesday night or Friday night, they're not carding people tonight if you're going into the part where Bar Hoppers is being performed.
Not at all. They can come, people under 21 can come in to watch the shows and eat and enjoy them as well. But, yeah, I'd probably put in a PG-13 rating with some occasional language, but certainly, as you can tell, some adult situations and innuendos.
An adult situation comedy with language as well.
Yeah, occasional flair, let's say.
No brief nudity?
No, unfortunately not.
That is yet to be determined. That may happen.
We still have six shows to go, right? Three this week, three next week.
Nikki's wearing a slinky red number in the show, so.
Yeah, slinky, indeed.
Slinky red number. Maybe that's what I remember from the picture. That's why you look familiar.
I think that
well,
is
and don't forget McClash. McClash has the kilt on, so don't forget that.
I don't remember getting that as a promotional photo, and my guess is that there was a darn good reason for that. All right, 11:41 here in the wake-up call. Thank you, folks. Let me see. That was Don Gaylord as Dick Dravitt, Nikki Simon as Lotta, Laura Lee Jones as Nikki, Alex Goodhouse playing the sax, Bob Dorsey as director, and Big Fish, Little Fish. All right, we'll have another segment of a Joel Jones performance from Bar Hoppers 2008 up in just a second.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, the saga of the new reservoir continues. Will Charlottesville Albemarle build a new one that goes under I-64 and needs a cross-country pipeline and leave the others to fill with silt? Read The Hook. Why is large China angry at little Charlottesville City Council? And a couple of fathers say that false accusations of child molestation have come from local social services. Details in The Hook. Education for even the smartest folks in town. And today's programming on WNRN brought to you by Sips Wine Bar on the downtown mall here in Charlottesville. Sips is now serving lunch daily. And for St. Patrick's Day, Sips will offer a dinner featuring four courses and four wines. Reservations are suggested. The retail shop is open and features a variety of wines. Sips Wine Bar across from the Paramount on the downtown mall. All right, next up, we're going to be doing Answer Man. Is that correct?
Favorite.
Actually, I enjoyed Answer Man. Mark, didn't you do Answer Man last year?
I did. I had 2 years ago. I had the honor of doing it. And if you're going to do a collection of Joel Jones plays, I mean, this is right there at the top. This is the play that touches humanity in a way.
Right.
It's excellent. This is the fourth time that Offstage has done it in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it is. It is a great piece. let's see. We have John Broderick Jones. Is that correct?
In some circles, yes.
In some circles? are other circles names that we shouldn't be saying over the air for FCC purpose? let's see. Josephine Stewart as Denise.
That's me.
Josephine, how are you today?
I'm just fine.
All right. And Ray.
Ray's back. That's right.
Ray's back. Ray's Ray. Directing this piece.
Yes, he is.
That's right.
Now... you've got 15, right? Didn't somebody say that Joel sent down 15 or 16 plays for you to choose from?
Yep.
You picked 7. Mark, you just commented that this one has been done multiple times before.
Absolutely.
Why again?
Well, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I think it'll remain on the top of any Bar Hoppers selection list only because of of the entertainment value that's there. You've got music, you've got a wonderful mystery in who this answer man guy is, and then at the end you just have this wonderful moment that everyone goes through of finding their humanity.
Yeah, that's the reason is I sometimes say that John Broderick, a.k.a. Ben, sitting beside me here, I hope I can say that, is related to the playwright by having the same mother.
Yes, that is
and,
true.
But I've told him this, and I tell this the same thing to Joel, is that it's a perfect nugget of a play because it's very funny, and you'll be laughing at it, and yet it's something that everyone wants. It has this thing, like you, it's the genie in the bottle. You have a chance to know
anything.
Anything. Whatever query most is needed to be answered in your life, you can get answered because you have someone who knows everything. The problem is that once you find out that this person knows everything, you realize you've asked a bunch of pointless questions and you just want to know if you're okay. And he can answer that too. So it's very funny and yet it's very human at the same time.
John... let's see. I have it under here as Jones the Younger.
That's right.
That yes. I'm trying to. My brother is a Bruegel fan. So
set your own name. I'm curious, and I say this with the utmost respect. You look like, with the guitar in hand, you look like a younger Elvis Costello.
Oh, why? Thank you. It's all the glasses. The glasses are imbued with Costello energy.
I'm a big fan, and the show you put on at JPJ a couple months ago. Beat the stink out of Bob Dylan, by the way. So, thank you very much, and I appreciate having you back on the program.
I don't know.
All right, so John Broderick Jones is Answer Man, Josephine Stewart as Denise, and we'll do a countdown, and you may begin. 1, 2, 3.
My life sucks!
And you want to know whether that's an objective reality or merely a subjective experiencing of reality. Well, I can tell you.
David's a jerk. I can't believe I put up with him.
And you want to know the psychological explanations of the behaviors you experience as jerkiness.
I can't believe he just dumped me like that.
You have relationship questions.
I always end up with undependable men.
And you want to know why.
No, not really.
Come on, ask me something. Isn't there anything you want to know about the truth about saturated fat? The secret of the Lindbergh kidnapping? The origin of human suffering? The chemical composition of retin?
I think I'll go sit at a table.
Please ask me something. Metaphysics, philosophy, history, anthropology, biochemistry, algebra. I know. How about sex? Everybody has questions about sex.
Maybe I should go.
I can tell you how you compare sexually with other men and women. Wouldn't that be great?
If you touch me, I'll scream.
No, wait. That wasn't an overture. I'm only naming subjects for you to ask me about.
I think I'd like the check.
Ask me about sports, fashion, constitutional law. Ask me about anything. Come on, what have you got to lose?
I don't want to ask you anything. Now, how much do I owe?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Wait! How much do I owe? Don't think that I'm going to just stand here, you freak! I'm not going to pay unless you come back right now. I don't have to put up with this. I should walk out. That's what I'll do. I'll walk out. Don't think I won't. Oh, I'm way too much of a wimp to do anything like that.
Well, Denise, I'm glad you asked. Answer number one, you owe $2.25. I'm the answer man. I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
What are you doing?
Answer number two, Denise, I'm answering your questions. I'm the answer man. I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
How did you know my name?
Answer number three, because, Denise, I'm the answer man. I like to sing, I smile, because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man. Now, Denise, you have a limited number of questions, so you might want to ask about important personal issues.
Why do you keep singing that song?
Well, if you consider that an important personal issue, answer number four, because I'm the answer man. I like to sing, I smile, because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man. I'll give you a hint, Denise. Go for deeper questions.
I'm going to count to 10, and then I'm leaving. And if you refuse to give me my change, I'm not going to pay you.
Please don't leave, Denise. You still have a lot of questions left. You can ask me about anything. The meaning of life. The truth about reincarnation. Why all Chinese restaurants have those same little boxes. Come on, Denise. I know all things. Think of the opportunity you have here.
If you know all things, then when is my birthday?
Testing me. That's clever. Answer number five, August 22nd, 1983. I'm the answer man. I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
You probably saw my driver's license somehow. What number am I thinking of?
Answer number six, you're thinking of 2,178, although you've been considering telling me you were thinking of 11, just to see what I'd do. I'm the answer man. I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
That's incredible. How did you know that?
Denise. Answer number 7. Marty said, I'm the answer man. I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man. Think deeper, Denise. What is it that you really want to know? Dun, dun, dun.
See, now I need to go just to see how that ends. And I've seen it twice, and I don't even remember how it ends.
I know.
But I want to go because I want to figure it. I want to be reminded.
It's the teaser.
It is one of my all-time favorite pieces that I've seen there. And people should go again tonight.
Yep.
So Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
7:30.
7:30.
Next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Sunday, remember, is our Easter extravaganza.
That's true.
And it's only extravagant simply because it's on Easter.
Got it.
7:30 Sunday, Monday.
There might be
eggs. Will there be eggs
at Rapture?
Eggs at Rapture. So both this week and next week, 7:30 Sunday, Monday, Tuesday at Rapture. This week's shows are the non-smoking.
Tonight is the non-smoking.
Tonight. Oh, only one night of non-smoking.
Yeah, got a lot of smokers out there.
Yeah,
well,
it's true.
You know, it is a bar, as you said earlier.
Got a lot of drinkers out there.
11:50 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about Bar Hoppers 2008. Let me thank Leland Bell, who called in and won that promotion, the Listeners Appreciation Weekend here at WNRN. Leland is indeed a member. Thanks for promoting yourself to WNRN, donating, giving us all kinds of stuff. And he lives, he or she? He. Thank you. See, it's not like Nikki or Laura Lee or Ray or Mike. Leland, I'd like to meet you. You live in Lovingston. I guess that means you're listening on 94.7. Thank you so much. All right, so we got a few minutes left. It is 11:59. Do we want to do this last piece, or do you want to just chat a bit?
I think we'd like to do a little excerpt from, Bar Hoppers is delighted again to have Mark Valahovic performing. Well, I had the delight of directing Mark in Daniel on a Thursday last year, and he's doing, there are two, well, along with the five plays, there are two monologues, and they're just fantastic pieces. They really help balance out the evening as far as a theatrical evening, and both performers doing the monologues are fantastic. And of course, Mark's sitting right beside me, but I'd say, and he's 12 feet tall, so I have to say it. But
13 now. I'm now 13 feet.
It's really a monologue of someone who comes to a bar and has a drink and starts talking his conscience.
I'm the bartender, man.
I'm talking about life insurance.
Oh, you're talking about life insurance. Okay.
Yeah, and then later in The Crossing, which Mark is doing this year. Both of these monologues are directed by Betsy Tucker, who's, I believe, one of the founders of Offstage.
That I don't know. But anyway.
But she's been a faithful and wonderful and diligent director for years. And so I'll let Mark. Mark, do you want to set up the excerpt that you're going to do?
Yeah. Again, this is another piece that Joel has written that really touches on something that everyone, I think, experiences at some point in their life, and that's loss. And does it in such a, again, I keep using the word, but in such a humane way that you really get this nice feeling of hope by the time you get to the end. That life really is all right, and it's going to be what you make of it. So that's the setup. It's called The Crossing.
All right. You're ready whenever you'd like.
Boy, I thought it had been my fault that she was so unhappy. I mean, that night, she lay on me, and I could feel her tears on my chest, at first hot when they fell, and then cold when they ran down my skin. Well, the months passed as they do, and we went on with our lives, as people do. And that summer, I wanted to go visit my grandmother down in Florida, who was very old and sick, and I wanted to make sure that I saw her one more time before she died. And she did end up dying the following year, as people do. So, instead of taking 64 to Richmond to pick up 95, I like to take 29 south to Greensboro and then pick up 220 and then Highway 1. And I like those small roads better, and I like the countryside, and I like the idea of driving on something called Highway 1. And my small beat-up economy car, well, it started on the first try, and the transmission, it began purring on the highway, and I was just relieved by this confidence that she'd be running smooth all night. And I headed out in late afternoon so I could make most of the drive at night. I mean, I love driving at night. Oh, man.
this south past Amherst and Lynchburg. I stopped at this mall at around sunset in Danville, and I picked up a CD. And I'm always surprised when anything is good, and it was, and I was. I got the windows down, unseasonably cool night, music playing, making good time through North Carolina. And then, at around 11 p.m., I cross the South Carolina border and stop at a Waffle House. And if you want to know what's inside this Waffle House, you've got to come to Rapture tonight, tomorrow, or Tuesday, or next week, Monday or Tuesday.
Another teaser. What's in the Waffle House? If you want to know what's in the Waffle House, if you want to know what the answer man has, you must come to Rapture at 7:30 this evening.
So that was another teaser, and that's all we got out of that.
That's what we got out of that, yeah. The magic of the Waffle House.
I need to know what's in the Waffle House.
That's right. You'll be taken to another plane of existence.
Now, when you do this piece,
yes.
Do we all get breakfast stuff? I mean, just to like help create the atmosphere.
It should be. It could be done in a Waffle Hoppers.
No, I was thinking, you know, of all the Rapture wait staff gonna suddenly bring out, you know, what do they call those things when you get the hash browns with, you know,
smothered and covered.
Smothered and covered.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
We're all going to get smothered and covered.
Unfortunately, this is the one where you got to use your imagination.
Oh,
and just kinda
unlike the one with the 15th century Scottish warlord. Yes, yes, yes. I can see how that plays out. All right, 11:56 here on the Wake Up Call. Just a few moments left with the folks from Bar Hoppers 2008. I do want to tell you that in case you didn't know or you were wondering what in the hell was going on, this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. All right, Sean, you've been kind of quiet today.
Yeah, I've not really had anything else.
Hold
to
on
add
a sec. We got to get, I don't know which one of those to turn up.
That's the reason. His mic's been off all
You know, we got different voices on one mic. We got a saxophone. We got a screaming Scottish warlord. And we got a guitar. We got to keep trying to play them so that they come across is somewhat, you know, similar sound levels. But Sean, is this your first year as the producer for the whole package?
Yeah, as the producer for the whole package. I started
because Mark, your wife used to do this the last couple times,
yes.
Right?
Yes, she has.
So what's it like to be, I mean, were you performing
before
this?
The slight grain of hair and, you know, hair loss. I started 8 years ago with Mark as well, and in a Joel Jones play, mm-hmm.
The Perfect Guy.
The Perfect Guy. I play the bartender.
Imagine that.
Which through the, you know, 8 years of this, I tend to always end up playing the bartender because I typically work at the bars where their plays are performed. I've been in directed a couple. I've directed one of Joel Jones's plays.
The Best Man.
The Best Man. And
how many people are you talking about? I mean, we've seen, I don't even know, I can't count that quickly, but it looks like we've had 15 people or so in and out of here today.
Yeah.
Just for the bits and pieces, and I can look down on my list and see that, you know, several people weren't able to participate here this morning. You're having, I guess, practice shortly after, a little setup.
Yep. Yeah, a little tech.
Right after this. So how many people does it take to put all of this together?
Surprisingly few for the amount of stuff, the volume, the quality, the size of the show we put on. Everybody sort of pitches in, helps each other. It's a team effort.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I agree with you. It's surprisingly few, but I can also say surprisingly a lot. There's about, including only directors and actors, cast, there's about 23 people involved, and that is a pretty big show. But the way it works out is that since there's seven individual pieces, then the casts are generally small, and it involves a lot of people, it involves a lot of the community, and it gets a lot of people involved. A lot of people's friends come to see it, so it's a really full evening. We have, I believe, there's no repeated cast member, so every play has a unique cast, and they rehearse on their own schedule, and then we all come together. Like, we're going to go to Rapture after this, and we're going to, you know, block it out in an afternoon, and, you know, little seat of the pants type thing, and tradition of offstage, and do a show tonight.
And it seems to be a wide variety. I mean, you, Ray, you mentioned how the community comes together. We didn't see all the pieces here today, but I know that what I've seen in years past are from high school to retired age folks. I can think of a gentleman, was it last year or 2 years ago, who was, you know, the old guy in the room. I mean, he looked like he was probably had to be 65 to 70 years old.
Yeah, I think it was probably Frank Cardella.
Yeah.
This year, and again, I don't want to speak badly or have them take it as an insult, but it looked like that Amy and Phil were, you know,
kids.
First year UVA, you know, high school seniors.
Amy's at UVA. I had actually directed Philip in American Buffalo over at Live Arts, and it was great find. I'm glad we got him.
I mean,
he's only 17.
Very talented, regardless of, but it's not like you go to some groups and it's all, you know, 5 years age difference.
Yeah.
And it's the makeup that makes, you know, helps them play their role.
Right.
But here you do have everybody in the community coming together.
It just makes it so much easier when you can cast people who are the age of the characters. Absolutely.
Right. Well, it is noon. We got to finish up. I want to thank you guys for coming on today.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean, good luck. Thanks for getting with me so we could put this on again this year. Ray and Mark, I appreciate it. Thanks to everyone who came out here on a Sunday morning, because the acting crowd is usually not the early morning crowd. Drew is up next for Les Temps Perdue. I will not be here live next Sunday. I will be in Las Vegas. But we will have a recorded conversation with my friend and local celebrity Coy Barefoot will be our program next Sunday. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.